Kumle in the black gemara, we are up to the Tezvav Amid Aleph. We began learning a machlekes between Abaye and Rava regarding a lechi, a post that happened to be there, like a palm tree or something else. According to Abaye, as long as you thought about it before Shabbos to rely on that, lechi ha'oimid me'elav is a valid lechi. And according to Rava, a lechi ha'oimid me'elav is not a valid lechi. You actually have to make it there. And right now the gemara thinks that lechi and mechitza are the same thing. That the same thing with a partition. When does it have a din of a partition? Only if it is, if you, according to Rav, only if you put it up there, according to Abai, as long as you intended to have it there before Shabbos, is good enough. So the Gemara is going to ask a number of questions before the Gemara is going to change its understanding. It says the Gemara, Kosal Kedatach, by 8 lines from the top of the pages. 7 lines. Kotar, we thought, Ki heiche de pligi belechi, pligi nami b'mechitza. Just like they're arguing by lechi, they're arguing by mechitza, because you remember we had an argument of lechi is based on the idea of a mechitza or based on the idea of a heker, a reminder. So right now the Gemara thinks that even if it's a reminder, but at least it has the similar laws as a mechitza. So Toshma, come in here. If somebody builds a sukkah, beinoy lonas, amongst the trees, the lonas, the fanus lon, the trees are the walls themselves, kshedas kosher. So you see, you can use trees as a mechitza. You definitely didn't plant it to be a sukkah. So therefore, it's a question on Rava, it's a proof to Abaya. They don't have to make it to be a partition. Says but again, no. Maybe Taka planted those trees intending that one day they will serve as walls for the mechitza. So what's the chiddush? Well, of course, you can use these trees as your walls. Name. Ma'otem thought. Ligzer dilma osnish to mushebe lin. I'll use a tree on Shabbos. So maybe, but if we allow you to use a tree as a wall, you might climb up the tree, and which is forbidden. Kamash lam, we're not concerned. No proof from here either way. Okay, Toshma, similar thing. If let's say we're talking about a pesebe rois, that pit you have in the middle of the ground in the street, and the pit itself is a shusayachid, the reservoir of water shusayachid, because it's 10 tvachim deep, 4 tvachim wide. We want to enable people to drink from those from that water, but if you take water from there and you draw it out in a cup or something and you're standing shusarabim, you took from shusayachid to shusarabim. So we made a rule that if you have these posts within 13 and a third amas of each other according to Rabbi Yehuda, or 10 amas according to Rabbi Meir, and each post is an am in each direction, so like the letter Dalet, on four sides, it's good enough. Even though it's mainly breach and so on, it's a leniency, because normally we say, if you have more opening than closer, it's no good, but we're very lenient. There it says, Hayisham Ilan, for the, one of these posts, you had a tree standing there, or gather an existing fence, or Chitzas Akanim, or a row of reeds that were attached to each other, they were, and that's how they grew. That's good enough to be considered the yamid. That corner thing, it's called a diyamid because it looks like the letter Dalet. And the diyamid means like, you know, all you need is those posts. And each post looks like two because one arm in one direction, another arm in the other direction. Says the Gemara. So basically, on each side, you have like a post, an arm on each end of the side. So lechayde, we see clearly here, these are things that exist pre-existing and they're good enough. Kashan Rava, hachanam maiskin she osam chel, you built for that. The chiddush is, this row of reeds that grew. Kone, pachas mishleish tvachim. That even though they're not mamash attached, they're growing and there's a gap between them, as long as they're less than 3 tvachim, we count them as a diyamid. And what's the chiddush in that? Abaya actually asked Rabba a question. Because you have so much gap and it's a leniency to have the post, maybe it has to be fully covered. How do we know we can apply the rule of love there as well? And Rabba told him from this very braisa, we learn out that you could. That's the chiddush of the braisa. So again, no proof either way. Toshma, okay, let's go. I have another proof. Ilan a tree. Hamesich ala oritz, where the overhang, where the branches are, the branches on the tree itself are 10 tvachim high, but then they fall to the ground within 3 tvachim. So if you're sitting under the tree, you practically have you have like a shusayachid, because you have a mechitza, because it starts higher than 10 tvachim of the tree, and it ends within 3 tvachim of the ground. So you have a mechitza. So you should be able to carry underneath those branches underneath the tree. It's like a shusayachid. So it says that if it's not raised above 3 tvachim, because we learned before already, any mechitza that's dangling and above 3 tvachim is not valid, because goats can go right through and break it. So if it's not dangling above 3 tvachim, metalklin tachtav, you can carry under the tree. No, this happened by itself, branches just grew. Says so Rabbi will answer again, you have to plant it with that purpose. If so, the taltul bekula, Why? So then you should be able to carry, since this tree was planted in order for you to sit under the tree. So this therefore is called a mukaf ladira. We know the general rule is that if you have a karf, if you have an open area and you close off with fences, there's still a limit, even though that four walls is a limit, how much you can carry there. It's called base assignment, like the Mishkan, 50 by 100 amas. But if it's surrounding a dwelling place, then you can. There's no limit to how big a shasiyach it could be. But if it's surrounding a non-dwelling place, then it looks like a carmelis if it's too large. So how come the din over here by the tree is also limited to 50 by 100 amas? If you planted it to sit under that tree, nobody planted to live there. It's not just a park. So how come there's a limit to the size of the tree? You're not allowed to carry under the tree. El beis asayim. And as you can imagine how huge this tree is, to have a tree that has a wider span than 50 amas, 50 cubits, like 75 feet, by 100 amas, 150 feet, as a minimum. I don't know if there's any such a tree that is that large. But anyway, but in principle, you're not allowed to carry beyond those measurements, says the Gemara, because true, you built a tree for you to sit there, but we have another rule that if the purpose of you sitting there is not to live there, but to view the outside of the tree, like a guardhouse or something, then it's viewed as if it's a karfif, and there's a limit of 50 by 100. Mishum l'havi dira, this is primarily a dira shetashmish la'avir. So you planted the tree to live there, but the dira is not there to live there properly. You wanted to have the space, the air that's outside of the tree. For example, people who guard the fields will sit, under the tree for shade because it gets very hot in the summer, or protect them from the rain in the winter. And therefore, it's not a real dira. It's more like an open space. So therefore, there's a limit how much you can carry. It's called avira. It's called a dira shetashmisha la'avir. The main purpose of this dira is, to be able to see beyond the dira. Says the Gemara. Again, no proof either way. You planted the tree for this purpose, says Rava, so therefore no proof. What happens, let's say, you rested on a mill mound, that you want to extend your tchumen, so you have to put food down there. So there was a little mound there. You placed your food on top of the mound. You placed with a mound that is 10 tfachim high. So we say, we imagine that since it's 10 tfachim high, we imagine that the 10 tfachim of sand over there, it could say good as it continues upwards, and as if the area is enclosed, where you're placing the food on top of the mound, as if it has extended walls, imaginary extended walls, we say good asik, and that the walls we drag upwards. And it's considered surrounded, and v'huma arba amas, my base assignment, so you can carry on top of that mound. That mound can be 20 amas wide. You can carry the entire length of that mound, because that mound has imaginary walls around it, and therefore it is like a reshus hayochid. So if you make that your place, you put your food down there, to continue walking your tchumen, and you have food, you can walk and carry the food all on top of that entire mound, but there's a limit to, the 50 by 100 amas. Because open space. If you have, let's say, a hole in the ground between rocks, is 10 tfachim deep. Again, you can carry between 4 amas and 200 amas. Again, give imaginary wall. The comma. Now this one here, the comma to the, let's say your stalks are all been cut. The sheboil is makifas, so we left a big circle, and surrounded by these stalks. So in that inner circle that's surrounded by the stalks, mahalich as kuli, you're allowed to carry there because you have 10 fucking walls with chutzala alpayim amma, up to 2,000. And from there, you can walk another 2,000 amma because it's a good thing. But within that area, you can carry more than 4 ammas because it's shusi yachid. Now, these stalks are there naturally. It doesn't approve to Abaye that lechi ha'emir mila. I can answer the same thing. You planted the stalk for that purpose. Okay, when it comes to the case of the kama of the stalks, lechai, I understand. You planted the stalk for that purpose. El tail in the mound, what did you do for that purpose? Or the neka. How can you have mechitza? The mound was there, Hashem created from the beginning of time. And so too, this crack over here and amongst the boulders. Again, it was there from the beginning of time. You did nothing. So how can you have these imaginary walls? Must be that a wall is a mechitza is good even if it happened to be there on its own. And the machlekes of Abayin Rabbah has nothing to do with mechitzah, to do with lechi. Ella, but mechitzah kulei amal pligid have a mechitzah. Everyone agrees with mechitzah, as long as it's there, it's a mechitzah. It doesn't matter if you put it up there or is there naturally. Keep ligi belechi by lechi. And what's going on here? Abayin is going to compare a lechi to a mechitzah. Therefore, naturally is good. And Rav is going to say, no, a lechi is there to be a reminder. And the only way something can be a reminder is if that's the reason why you put it there, is to be a reminder. Keep ligi b'lechi. Abayi, l'tamei abayi, because if you're done a lechi, you're mechitza. Abayi already said previously that a lechi causes mechitza. If you remember, we learned that if you have a koira beam, and we're going to compare, equate a beam to a lechi. If you have a beam that's above 20 amas, what do? So we said you have to raise the floor a little bit. According to Abaya, you have to raise the floor 4 tvachim. And you might give a number of reasons. One of them was you might chip away from the floor, so you need 4 tvachim. But one of the reasons given is because the koira is like a wall, and a partition needs 4 tvachim to be considered a partition. If something is a partition over an area less than 4 tvachim, it's not chashar, not significant, it's not considered a partition. So we see that Abaya holds clearly a koira is a partition, according to one view. So lechi is similar to a koira. So since Abaya holds lechi is like a mechitza, therefore it happens naturally. But the Rav over there argues, and Rav says it's because of heker, and therefore you have to put it in there with a purpose to be a recognition, the same thing by lechi. Because if you don't, my lechi mishum hek is there to remind you. If he did it deliberately with that purpose, fine. Otherwise, not a heker. Now we're going to ask a number of questions on this new view. Says the Gemara Toshma coming here. The Tony says avne geder. If you have the stones of a wall, hayoytzeis min hageder muvdolus zumuzul pachem shleisha. So you have these protrusions from the wall, one brick out, one brick in, one brick out, one brick in. It's almost like we had before, pischa shimoi. One brick out, one brick in. Now, if the distance between the bricks, you know, the ones that are protruding, are less than 3 tfachim, we'll say lavud, it's as if it's a wall. Ain't tzarek lechacha, that itself will serve as a lechi. Shloche, if there's more of a gap of 3 tfachim between one brick and the brick below, then tzarek lechi acha, you need another post. Again, what do we see from here? Now these were not built to be a lechi, they just happened to be there. So we see that a lechi can be natural like a baya. Says, Rav again is going to constantly say, you built the wall specifically with those stones protruding in order to be a lechi. What's a chiddush? No. People look at it and think it's part of the building, it's not really there to be a serving as a lechi. And remember, the whole idea of a lechi is to be a hekir, it has to be noticeable and people won't notice it. That's still good enough. Because it's not the common way of leaving a wall. Toshma coming here, brother proved, you turn up here, Koisel, you have a wall. Shetzidai echad konus mechaveda. You have a wall. On one side, the wall, you know, goes all the way out. The other side, the wall goes out as well, but it thins out towards the end. It thins out, much thinner than another one. Bein shenidim bechutz v'shava b'fnim. Whether it thins out on the outside, in other words, if you're walking in the street in the Rishus Rabim, you can see that this wall here is much thinner at the end. But if you're standing inside the Mavi, the wall just continues to the end. You can't tell between one wall and the next. So it's nidim bechutz. We had before, remember, a question if it's only visible on the outside, and we had a machlekes, and it's equal on the inside, whether it's considered a lechi. Or bein shenidim b'fnim. Let's say it thins out on the inside. So if you're walking down the street, you can see the wall going to the end. But if you're standing inside, you realize that it thins out. Vishal mechut, but on the outside it looks equal. Nodin mishum lechi. It's still, so that little section of the wall will be considered not wall, but rather the post. So lechayde b'si, it's natural. It was not the intention, and yet it's a valid lechi. Says the Rebbe, who said it was not the intention? Hachanamish also mitchil lekach. It was deliberately done this way. Nu yachim ay kamas, and what's the chiddush? If you built it to be a lechi, of course it's a lechi. Hakamashmalan comes to teach you that, remember the discussion we had before, that nidim bechutz, even though it's only visible on the outside, b'shavavim, especially according to me, I hold the whole role of a lechi is to be a heker, but in this case over here, it's barely a heker for the people inside, because it's just a continuation of the wall. It's only the people on the outside that recognize it. Nidim b'shavavim lechi, it's enough to be considered a lechi. Toshma coming here, the Rav of the Yossi Bahu Bavu, Rav was sitting in the street, have a Yossi Bahu Kamir Hun was sitting before him. Amr Lishmai, Rav said to his Gabai, Zil Icy Lee Kuzunamai, please bring me a jug of water. Ad also by the time he came and he's carrying the jug, suddenly Nafal Lechaya, the Lechi fell down, collapsed, which means you can no longer carry. Achvele Biyode, he showed the Rav pointed with his hand, Koma Duchte, stand where you are, no, don't carry that Kuzah any further. There's a palm tree there. Why don't you rely on the palm tree? So Rav made a comment. doesn't help the palm tree, because remember we learned before, you have to be prepared before, you have to think about it before Shabbos. This just collapsed right now. And prior to Shabbos, we had no intention to use the palm tree. I'm a dummy, Haimer Rabbanan, I think this rabbi, Rav Huna, commander le parsha ina shmaita, as if nobody really explained to him the whole sugya. Mi samchina lem etma? Did we rely on this yesterday? Of course not. Seems the only reservation that I've had was it wasn't relied on Friday night. But if you would have relied on Friday night, it would have been good enough. Even though it was there already previously, it wasn't planted to be a lechi, they never intended to be a lechi. Doesn't that prove like a baya? Time the zechin and hosechin have a lechi. Says the Gemara, no. Maybe let's swap around the whole. The Gemara had a problem. It seems all the questions that we have, the preponderance of questions, are all supporting a baya. And generally speaking, a baya of the halach like rabba. So the Gemara therefore wants to say, maybe let's reinterpret the whole argument so it'll come out that halacha like Rav. How is that? Lame, but let us say that Abaye v'Rav b'dulaysem chilul pligi. They're arguing when you didn't know about it Friday night, you didn't think about it Friday night, and that Abaye holds is good enough, Rav holds is not good, and therefore Rav over here holds like Rav. He says, no, you had to think about it before Friday night, but once you did, it doesn't matter whether you planted it for that reason or not. Hosam chilul lehavi lechi. Most of you can't say that. Loi, don't even think so. Why? Because the hu barka, there was once this porch. That the Havi Beit Bar Chavu, there's a porch in the house of Bar Chavu, the Havi Pligi Bar Abaye, and you had the support of the porch. Now those pegs that were holding up the porch were really there to hold up the porch. But the Rabaye said it's good enough to be a Lechi as well. The Pligi Abaye the Rav Kula Shanayu. Hear this? Their whole life they kept on arguing about this machlekes. So Rav never conceded to Abaye till the very end, even though the Gemara rules Allah here like Abaye, because I told you Yal Kagam, Yud Ayin Lamed, and the Lamed stands for Lechi Oimen Me'elav. It seems Rav maintained his opinion. So over there, if a Lechi Oimen Me'elav, Rav did not allow it. So it's clearly Rav held, you have to put it there for the reason of being a Lechi, otherwise you cannot rely on it. Next Mishnah, Bachalois and Lechin, you can use anything to be opposed. Afilu b'davar chayim, even something which is a living thing. You can take an animal and tie it down there, and that will be opposed. Or the entrance of the intersection, the Movi and the Rosh Hashanah. And Rameir, Oys, Rameir says, no, anything that is live, you cannot count. Because a living thing, anything has a ruach chayim and it is not real. It's just air, and therefore he says you cannot use it as a Lechi. Says the Gemara, another thing about a living thing is metame v'shum goyel. Goyel and doifik is a big argument in the Rishonim, not so much here, but I mean in other places, where Rashi learns that a goyel means the lid of a coffin, and the doifik are the sides of the coffin. Tesis completely rules that out for many reasons, including the fact who puts an animal on top of a coffin, on top of a mace, but rather he holds it as the tombstone. And they have just a rock on top, and then something has two supporting rocks. So the Deifik are the two supporting stones, and the Legel was the stone on top of that. Metame Goyel, that an animal also can become is Metame, because a Goyel, if it was on top of a coffin, where it actually learns, even after you remove the animal, once the animal is on top of a coffin, it becomes an oil, it now is tummy forever, and that even though it's alive. So here's an example of a living animal that's tummy, because usually a living animal cannot become tummy. And Rameir Metayer. Rameir says that a living animal cannot be Mekabel Tuma. Because he holds that it's not real. Uve Koysin Olav Gite Noshim, you can write the get of a woman on an animal. Now, we learned in Margitin that you cannot, it says the cost of an osin, you write a get and you have to give it. You cannot, let's say, write it on the horn of an animal and then cut that horn off and give it to her, because it's mechusik tzitzit. You need a third activity. You have to write, then cut, and then give. But if you give to her the entire animal and on the horn was written the get, it is valid. And Abi Zaguli says, no, you cannot write on a living thing, paisel. That's a measure of Abi Zaguli when it comes to get. And we'll explain. Time limit, Abi Zaguli says, kol yirachayim anoysen, it's a lot of anything which has a living thing, since life, what keeps it up is the neshama. Neshama is not something tangible, therefore it's not a valid lechi or mechitza. You cannot use it for a wall, for a sukkah, for a lechi, mavi, nor for a post, for a mavi, like passing, but always, nor for those posts. When it comes to that pit, for like a goyle, a cave, nor can you use it as a cover for a cave. It's like I said, a cover for a cave. Furthermore, I think, he adds, you cannot write a divorce on it. Says the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, what's his logic? The Tanya, we learn, safer, it says in Pasuk, because of the safer creases, you should write her a safer, a book of severance. So he, Darshan Sefer, is not telling you what to write, but on what kind of material you should write. Ainly ella sefer, you can only write it on, you know, a document on the parchment. Menayin le Rabbi Kolover, you can use any material. Tamlem the cost of law, it's a more generic term. You can write her on anything. Mekom makom on anything. In came matamlem sefer. So why even describe it as a sefer, as a document, which usually is parchment? Loim lecha tell you ma sefer dover she ain boy ruachaim. Just like a sefer, a scroll, it has no life in it. It's a parchment. Veinly oichel, it's not. Neither is it food. Av kol dover she ain boy ruachaim, it cannot have any life in it. Ve'enu oichel, it's not food. So he limits on what you can write your divorce on. Rabbanon, they disagree. They say you can write anything. Aye, what about sefer? So they say back. They counter. Miksiv, does it say ba sefer? You should write inside a sefer. Then you can argue that he's talking about, you know, the substance of the document you're using. Sefer ksiv. It says the cost of sefer. You should write a story. Sefidus Rem Almuhuda also is telling you, you have to write down exactly, precisely what you're trying to do. That you say had happened to Chaladam, that you permitted to everybody. You have to write a certain text. Rabbanon, Haiva Kosov Law, my Darshibe, since they hold you can write anything, what do they do with the generic term? You can write the Kosov Law, you can write anything, anything you want. What do you Kosov Law? So, what does the Torah have to come include any kind of material? Anyway, you can think you can use any material. So, why do you have, what do you say with Kosov Law? So it comes and says, "Ahum boy." It comes to include b'chsiva mizgareshes. In fact, it's coming to limit. You could only divorce a woman with a document v'ainu mizgareshes because you can't give her money and pay her out until her leave. Why would you think otherwise? Because Salgam ever thought, "Hoyil v'iskish litzi lavoh." Since we compare a number of dinim, it says v'yotza v'hoyiselish achav. She's married to a person, then it didn't work out, and then she went to marry another one. It says v'yotza, she left her first husband. V'hoyse, she went, she got married to betrothed to another person. So we learn out from there that we compare the two dinim in many different instances. The Gemara will learn it of tests in Kiddush and so on, and as well in other places. So we would have thought, we will compare Exodus to coming, getting married. Mahavoya bekesef, just like when you get married, you can get married with money, like the first Mishnah says in Kedushin. Bekesef b'shtar abiyas, af yitzi bekesef. Maybe you can also pay her out to leave. Kamash shalom, the cost of law. No, only through writing. Rabbi Yisrael Glil, he uses the cost of law to tell you in what kind of book you should write, what kind of manual you should write, or, you know, what kind of substance you should use. What is? How does he know that you have to write, you know, a certain text? How does he know that you cannot use money? And what is it? How does he know? Nafkala, he learns out, mesefer krisis. He learns out from the word sefer krisis. Sefer kursa, vein davach kursa. Only a sefer can do the severance and not money or anything else. The Gemara in Kedushin uses a svara that ein seneger nasek eteger. The thing that took you in cannot take you out. What about the document? The wording in the document is very different going in and going out. But money, it's the same money. But Rabbanon, what do they do the word sefer krisis? A story, what do you mean severance? L'dover ha-koydus b'noi l'benot. Very important, critical. When you give a get, you have to be completely severed, sever your ties. You can't still hold on to the strings and control her life. If I tell you I'm giving you the divorce on condition you promise me you'll never drink alcohol again or you'll never visit your parents' house, it is not considered a get. Why? Because I still have control over her the rest of her life. But if I give her a time limit, if I tell her for 30 days you shouldn't drink alcohol, it's a get immediately and she has to abide by the condition. And therefore, that's what I do with sefer krisis. I tell you, it has to be total severance. Even though your father's house, he can sell it one day, or if he dies, it's always called the father's house, even afterwards. Basically, in Africa, he learned that mekoros krisis. Could have said the kofos Allah sefer koros. Why is it sefer krisis? To teach you two things: to teach you what Rabbanu just said about it should be nothing connected, and to tell you that only writing can sever and not money. Rabban Kodas Krisel not Dashi. They say whether it's at Kodas or Krisis, you cannot learn an extra drasha from there. Okay, next mission. What about a Shayyara? Let's say a traveling caravan. And they travel on Shabbos, they have to rest. And they have to eat and everything else. How do they set themselves up that they should be able to have Rosh Hashanah wherever they are? Says the Gemara. Shayyara, Shechonsa Bebikam. If you have, let's say, a caravan, and they rested out in the fields. So what do? They surround themselves. V'kifua, they surround themselves. Clay behema, they use all the different implements that they use for their animals. They surround around themselves. Metalklim b'teicha. If they have a wall all around them, they can obviously carry inside. Ubevad, provided she a geder gevoya aser tfachim. That wall should be 10 tfachim high, number one. And what about the gaps? V'lo yehei pirtzes yisaitis alabinyan. You cannot have more breaches than closure. You have to have more closure than opening. We'll see in the Gemara about if it's even. But all the Mishnah says is there shouldn't be more breaches than opening. Sounds like, but if the breaches and the closure are exactly the same, it should be all right. Then the Mishnah continues. Called Pizza Sheyeser Amos Muteres. Any opening that's 10 Amos or less, it's considered a doorway. But if it's greater than 10 Amos, it's considered a breach and it is Asa. Unless you build a Tursa Pesach. Except according to that. Itmo, says Gemara, we actually have an argument. Porus came around exactly 50-50. Half is upstanding wall and half of it is just gaps. Rapapa says Mut. Rapapa, it's all right. As long as there's not more opening than closure, that's all that matters. And Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua Amar, also Rav Yeshua said, no, you need more closure than opening. This is what Moshe told. When they, the halacha Moshe Sinai regarding mechitza and so on and so forth, he was told, we said before, mechitzas and all those laws, halacha Moshe Sinai, what was Moshe Rabbeinu told? That you should not have more opening than closure. But half and half, all right. And Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua Amar, osir. Hachi agbarach mal Moshe, this is Epshut told Moshe. G'day Ruba, make sure you have more closure than opening. And even though we said before, on halacha Moshe, you can't have arguments. That means you cannot have an argument if that halacha applies or not. Here, in this machlek is here, and so too the question we asked last time about lavud, three tfachim or four tfachim. They're not arguing the principle of lavud. They all agree there is lavud. The question is, what was the details? Was it three tfachim or four tfachim? Same thing here. Everyone agrees that if you have more parutz than oimid, it's possible. That's not a mechitza. The question is, what about parutz ki oimid? What was Moshe Rabbeinu told? Those kind of arguments you can have. When the Rambam said there's no arguments by halacha Moshe Sinai, he meant that one says there is, and one says that there is no halacha Moshe Sinai, such a halacha Moshe Sinai. That we don't have. Says the Gemara, Tanam, we learned, there shouldn't, says in the Mishnah, there shouldn't be more breaches than building. Sounds clearly from our Mishnah, but how kib binyan, if there be equal amounts, mutter, doesn't that prove like Rapapa that Porotzka Emir is all right? Says Gemara, light no, light tamer, don't deduce or infer how kib binyan mutter 50-50 is all right. Elaima say, im binyan yes or pits, if there's more closure than opening, then it's all right. Not half and half. I will keep being in mind. Someone asked a question, very simple question. But what do you tell me if it's 50-50? My asa. So why does the Mishnah use such strange wording? If so, at least the Mishnah should have said, lo yi yipitzes kibbinyin. Why does the Mishnah say there shouldn't be more gaps than closure? The Mishnah should have been clear and said there shouldn't be gaps equal to closure. Because according to you, that's also possible. Kashi, okay, I have a question on the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't use that, but that's not enough to repudiate what I said. Okay, Toshma coming here. We have another question. It says, Hamakara Sukotsoi Bishpudin. So we're going to have now a whole discussion about whether Porot Ke'aimid, if the gaps and the wall are equal, what happens then? So we learn, Hamakara Sukotsoi, if you cover your Sukkah Bishpudin with these poles, Oibarucha Mito, with these sides of your bed, Im Yesh, which are possible, Kodem Makabal Tumah. So they're possible for Schach, and you leave gaps to be able to put kosher Schach in between. So the question is it kosher or not? We need most majority of kosher Schach. So we say as follows. Im Yesh Revach Beinei and Kim Moisen. If you leave gaps equal to the boards, so you have this board which is possible of Schach, and then you have, let's say, Tutvachim, then you have a gap of Tutvachim. Kshayda, then it's kosher. What do we see clearly from here? As long as they're equal, it's kosher. Parot Ke'aimen is kosher. Kasha Rav Huna. No, when we say a gap to put in a tutfachim schach, you need more than tutfachim of space to be able to put it in. You need tutfachim of schach, but the space is wider than tutfachim. Therefore, there's less posel schach than there is kosher schach, because a little bit of space is counted as kosher schach. So therefore, there's no proof. But we could, when the Mishnah said, if there's a space, k'moison, and it is possible by humans to be mitzamtzum, to be exact. So the Mishnah sounds like it includes even in a case where it's exact tutfachim space, and tutfachim board, tutfachim space is good enough. No, who told you the Mishnah is talking about a case where you were exact? The Mishnah is talking about a normal case where you're not 100% exact, and you're a bit generous on the space over the board. So therefore, there's more gaps than board. And therefore, Rav Huna is all right. And the Rabbi answers, "Ima yinasunim edim nosna shni shti nosna edim." We're talking about not that you fill the gaps between the boards. If they're horizontal, you made this kosher schach vertical, and because the kosher schach has to straddle all the boards, the kosher schach is actually more than the boards themselves. Okay, Toshma, another proof. Shayor, we learned in the Braise, if you have a caravan, Shachons of a Bika that rested out in the fields, Vikifua, big malin, you surrounded it with camels of Oichvis or saddles, Ba'avitin, the cushions that hold up the saddles. These are your makeshift walls. Or b'shlifin, or a bunch of bundles. B'kanim, or with a bunch of reeds. Or b'kolachis, or stalks. Metalklin b'techi, let it carry anywhere inside. In the closure, b'vanchali, hey ben gamel gamel, kamel gamel. Make sure that the space, the gap between one camel and another gap, is should not be the size of a camel. Uben oikiv la'oikiv, kamel la'oikiv. Sounds from here, like Rav Huna. It sounds from here that it should not be an equal amount, a gap. If the gap is equal to the closure, we have a problem. So this is a kasha and a papa. The first question we have on a papa. A papa said that the gaps are equal to the closure. It's good enough. Here it says, make sure that the gap is not equal to the closure. And make sure ben oikiv leikiv, one side and the next kimel oikiv. Uben ovid la ovid, and between the support of the saddle kimel ovid. A kasha and a So here, a kasha and a papa. So here, our papa is going to answer. Like before, Hochanami here also kishenichnes v'yotze. We're talking about the gaps. If you're going to put a space of a camel, you have to be a little bit wider than the camel. So therefore, the gaps are larger. But if they're equal, for sure, it's 100% kosher. Now, the next case that we're going to talk about is actually goes on for the next entire amud, and we go through it. So we will wait a rate till tomorrow to continue this argument of Papa Rav Huna whether Potter's Ka'imit is good enough or not. Okay, everyone, have a good day.